Hi, I'm Philip Hong, and welcome to the Friday edition of The Best of Humble and Fred, brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Spearhead Brewing Company, Gig Sky, Strain Print, HomegrownKits.ca, The Chambers Plan, and Cannabis Career Network. Today on the show, we have some fun moments from the week, as well as some archive segments that will tempt your taste buds to check out our archive. Thank you so much for listening on air and online. By the way, we have an archive segment to start with, and this is a legendary interview with a fun comedian. His name is K. Trevor Wilson, now on The Best of Humble and Fred.
He is a, he's entertainment. That's what he is. talking about picking it up in the middle of the paragraph. He's entertainment.
Yay!
he's worked with the likes of Todd Glass, Brent Butt. He is the self-proclaimed man mountain of comedy. Please put your hands together for K. Trevor Wilson!
Woo! Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being you. How long you been doing stand-up?
15 years.
Really?
Yeah.
You're doing well, aren't you?
It's been a good year.
Yeah, has it?
Yeah, can't complain.
Has it been a long time coming, or did you feel it? Was there the momentum? What's going on?
It's sort of been snowballing for a while now. Things have been going well, and every year I just seem to add something that I didn't have last year. But I mean, I've been in entertainment longer than I haven't at this point. I've been started out as a kid actor, so I've been doing this 21 years.
What were you doing as a kid? What things would we have seen you?
My first job ever was Goosebumps, that horror series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did a couple episodes of those back in the day. A lot of Disease of the Week films when I was starting.
Love those.
I had a good 2-year run where the only job I got was picking on handicapped people in TV movies.
That's fantastic news. Is it true that, is this like one of those comedy bios where it turns out Trevor is a former men's 18 and under Canadian platform tennis doubles champion?
No, that's true.
What does that mean, platform?
It's a weird fringe sport, but they have courts here in Etobicoke. It's like tennis, but smaller, played inside of chicken wire cages, and the cages are in play. So if it bounces in and
really?
Off the wall, you keep playing. Yeah, it's like squash meets tennis.
Is this like a UFC thing?
Not
well,
really.
Inside of a cage.
And this is like a sport. People play it seriously?
Yeah.
To beat one another and like...
Yeah, I mean, now to become Canadian champion, I just had to beat the kids from London, Ontario.
Okay.
You went to the same school as my daughter just graduated at the Etobicoke School of Prima Donnas.
Right on. Great
yeah.
school.
Did you go there for acting or drama?
I majored in drama.
Did you sing too?
I took a minor in music theater while I was there. I had a great time at that school. I really can't say enough good things about it. It's if you think you're a weirdo, odds are you should probably just go to that school.
Well, you know, one of the best things about the school for my kid was just being around nothing but kids like her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's a little actress and all that other bullshit, but. So you've opened for Patton Oswalt and Louis C.K.?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that was at the same... that was at the first Just for Laughs 42, so about 5 years ago here in Toronto.
Were they nice to you, those guys?
They were both really great. Patton Oswalt, super nice guy. I opened for him at the Queen Elizabeth Theater. It was one of the kickoff shows. And we had a great time. I split a car ride back to the hotel with him. And I didn't have to go to the hotel. I just wanted to pick his brain. But we talked at length about, you know, how we started out in comedy. And actually, we talked for a long, long time about Brian Regan.
Yeah, really, really funny guy. Does he like Brian?
Yeah. Patton decided he's, in his opinion, the best two guys doing it today were Louis C.K. and Brian Regan. And I really couldn't disagree with him at the time.
You know, you don't know any of Brian Regan's humor, but I gotta tell you, Freddie P., if you got into it, he's the type of guy you would love. He's just mm-hmm. a regular guy. He's got such great cadence, but his material is so universal. Being a dad, being a guy, you know,
he's
being married.
He's super funny and clean.
Clean and odd.
But clean in the way that you, like, but funny so that you don't notice that he's clean. Like, it's not clean that he's
hammering
you over
clean.
The head.
Yeah,
right?
And it's funny because, you know, you want to go back to the mm-hmm. first season of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Brian Regan was one of the guys. There was two guys in that first season or two that non-comedy fans would go, wonder why that guy's on. One was Brian Regan. The other one is Todd Barry.
Yeah.
Both to comedy fans, like just superstars of and really funny guys. But when you work with guys like Patton and Louis, are you intimidated by that? Do you get, you think, oh, I got to do my best 7 or 8 or 10 minutes?
Oh, definitely. I mean, when I opened for Louis, we were at the Sony Center in front of 3,000 people.
Does he come backstage after and go, hey, Man Mountain, this is how much you... Don't do any dick jokes.
He actually requested a bit from me, which blew my mind.
What?
Really?
I guess Just for Laughs, he was looking for openers, so Just for Laughs had sent him video of comics on the tour, on the festival that he might not have seen. And my video is amongst those, so he watched it and then measured him back and said, I'll take K. Trevor for 2 shows. And when I met him before the first show... yeah, he pretty much, we were talking, and he's like, hey, do you still do that bit about going to church with your mom? And I was like, yeah. He goes, I'd really like to hear that live, so could you do that tonight?
No. Come on.
Yeah, sure.
And did you say no way?
Who do you think you're talking to?
Yeah, you're just trying to steal it, aren't you, Louis?
And then I was actually, Todd Barry was the other opener on the show, and Todd and I were sharing a dressing room, and he was like, well, what's this bit that Louis asked you to do? And I described it to him.
Well, just, Donnie, just tell us the bit now.
It's a 10-minute story.
Well, just give us, can you give us kind of the over?
It's essentially, it's a story about me and my brother getting dragged to a midnight service on Christmas Eve, and we get hammered before we go, and drunkenly play the penis game in church.
Let's see. I'm not sure. Phil, are you aware of the penis game?
It involves penises, doesn't it?
Thank you, Phil.
Really?
It's where one of you says penis really quietly, and then the next person has to say it a bit louder.
Oh.
And you keep going back and forth until either one of you chickens out or one of you is screaming penis at the top of your voice.
Now, how old are you?
25.
That's great.
My brother was 23. We were definitely old enough to know better, but young enough to not care. And so, yeah, that got us in trouble fast, but made for a really good story.
So obviously no one chickened out.
No, well, actually, Mom won when she slapped me in the chest as hard as she could.
I thought you were going to say Mom won when she yelled, my penis!
No, she just very angrily said, you are not playing the penis game in church! And I was like, well, that's way louder than we were planning on going, Mom.
That's really funny.
You should have said, well, the priest does.
Kevin, K. Trevor's on this series now. It's funny. One of my best buddies, Jeff Lumby, who's known to our show and fans, said, you got to check this show out. It's called Letterkenny. And the thing is, I've never seen a full episode. I've just seen lots of little YouTube clips. And K. Trevor's on it. Can you describe the show? Because there's another thing, you know, when you were saying about looking at some stuff this winter. So one is Brian Regan. One is, we got to start watching this Letterkenny show because it's hilarious.
It's
very Canadian.
Yeah, it started out as the web series Letterkenny Problems, and
what does Letterkenny refer to?
Well, it's a fake small town in Ontario. Well, there
called
actually
Letterkenny?
There is a real Letterkenny, but it's an abandoned mining town out in the Ottawa Valley. So Jared Kiso, the creator of the show, grew up in Listowel, Ontario, and he used to run a Twitter account called Listy Problems, where there was a lot of fictional problems you'd only find in a small town like Listowel. Mm-hmm. And one day he realized they had 15,000 Twitter followers and there's only 5,000 people in Listowel. So he figured there's got to be an audience for this, and worked in changing it into the sketches. But his buddy who he ran the Twitter account with was like, maybe change the name so people don't know it was us the whole time. And so they chose Letterkenny because it's a real town that no one lives in anymore. And so Letterkenny Problems, it's about a fake small town of 5,000 people, loosely based on Listowel and just the problems they have. And it's essentially you got the Hicks, the Skids, and the hockey players. They make up the population of the town, and they're always fighting with each other and feuding unless they have to team up for the good of Letterkenny.
I got to tell you, I it's weird to say I recommend it for something I've never seen a whole episode of, but the bits I've seen are really funny, really kind of next level Canadian comedy. And I say next level, like, you know, sort of on the line of Trailer Park Boys, Corner Gas, you know, and now you've got this kind of fictitious, could be a small town anywhere, but the guys are really funny in it. What is your character?
I play Squirrely Dan. I'm sort of the third banana to the two main guys.
Okay.
Dwayne and Daryl, played by Jared Kiso and Nate Dales, who were in the original web shorts. And I'm a big country boy, storyteller. And I'm the guy in the group who uses too many plurals and doesn't quite get all the words right. Dan uses a lot of malapropisms. And almost phrases.
Is it a good gig? Are you getting paid decent?
It's a great gig.
What kind of money? Can you tell me what you get per episode? I'm just kidding. What is your per episode? Do you get a per diem? I'm sorry.
So there's been one season of this?
Three seasons.
Three seasons of this.
Well, this is the third season.
Okay. Season one is on Crave TV right now.
Right. Okay. I'm just looking at that.
Season two comes out in December on Crave. And we've been picked up for our third season already. We wrapped season two in June. And we'll be going back to work, I think, February.
That's so un-Canadian.
Yeah, I know.
So it must be doing well.
Being on the streaming channels, I think it's a game changer for Canadian television. We're not limited by the same rules as network.
Anyway, good luck with that. That's but is it, because it's streaming, I want to ask you your per episode, but is it decent cash?
Oh, yeah.
No, like, it's nice. How many episodes you do?
Well, so far, the two seasons have just been six episodes.
So you do 12 episodes.
But, yeah, we're season three is going to be a 12-episode season.
Nice.
We're breaking it up into two blocks of six.
What are your thoughts about identity theft? He said, as though I didn't know that you have some stuff you want to talk about identity theft about.
Well, I had my identity stolen while shooting season two.
Really?
What?
Well, I was up in...
Someone said, I'm no, you're not K. Trevor Wilson.
Yeah, someone decided to take over K. Trevor Wilson's life, which is mostly just some debt I owe.
And do you know how it happened?
Yeah. While I was up shooting season two, because we shoot up in Sudbury, so we pretty much spend the month living up there.
That's the dream. Sudbury for a month.
A forwarding address on my mail, and of course I wasn't at home to receive the letter that the post office sends you when someone tries to set up a forwarding address in your name. So they just started forwarding my mail to a second party who then called into my credit card company and got a new credit card and a PIN sent out, and started using my credit card out. And they sent it to an address in Quebec and Montreal, and started using my credit card while I was up in Sudbury. And I didn't notice for a while because, of course, I get per diem when I'm up there, so I'm not really using the credit card for purchases all the time. So halfway through the shoot, I sort of realized my card stopped working and began unraveling the wonderful web that is identity theft. If I can recommend it, guys, I'd never do it.
How much money was on the new card?
Now, luckily, the card that they stole had, like, a very small limit on it.
No, but you said they tried to get a new one.
Well, they did get a new one, but they didn't up the credit limit or anything. They just got it at
So how much did they put on it?
I think they got took out about $1,000 worth of cash advances by the time I got them.
Now, you weren't liable for that, were you?
No. It was all
well, and that's good covered. To know, too. Because you hear about these identity thefts and how you're abandoned by the banks and the credit card companies. I'm sorry, but you're responsible. When, in fact, I mean, they're the ones that are duped, not you, right?
You know, the few times I've ever had my card compromised, never stolen, but where people have put... You know, something at a gas station where they take an imprint of your card or whatever.
Yeah.
I've never had to pay for it.
Oh, no, either have I.
Now I'm going through the process that I have to prove that I'm me to these companies that...
Oh, I know, there's wild stories.
To the guy pretending to be me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, if you guys were this diligent in the first place, he probably wouldn't have gotten away with it.
Have they caught the guy, the faux K. Trevor?
Well, this is actually the newest development, because I'm filling out these things and I need the police report to send in. So when it had happened, I called the police and filed the report, and they passed it on to 11 Division, to the fraud and financial crimes. And I called in yesterday to talk to the officer assigned to my case so I could get a copy of the police report. And they hadn't assigned an officer to my case yet, and it's been 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, well, so it's nice to know you guys are right on top of things.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Trev, we'll get to that. We got some other stuff we're doing. By the way, speaking of police, I drove by a policewoman on a bike the other day. Mm-hmm. And she had, like, tattoos all on her arm. She was really cute and stuff. I thought, you know, what is the protocol for, like, pulling over and asking for, excuse me, officer, I was wondering if you could help me. is there any way that we could, like, maybe do stuff together sometime? Like, I don't know. I don't know how you ask a cop out, but I was like, I wonder if I pulled over now and went, I'm just wondering.
I saw, it's funny you say that. The other day, do you call it a convoy of bikes? You know, when all those guys ride together, like,
motorcycles?
Three abreast? Yeah.
Like cops or bikers?
No, just bikers.
Oh, okay.
And this one pulls up beside me, and I think it's this tiny, gorgeous woman, and she, the cleavage was out, and just, I could see her sweet face, and what, tiny, but beautiful, and I'm thinking, wow, that's a big bike for her.
Hmm.
What a neat chick.
Yeah. You
know, this tiny, gorgeous chick, as you drive this big bike. So anyway, she pulls away, and it was one of the three-wheeler ones.
That's okay.
Oh, no, it was fine, but I just got the impression that it was...
Thought she rolled up in a hog.
Oh, one of these big hogs.
Yeah. This bike cop, and she had a partner. I didn't see him right away, and I thought, you know, what's that? She probably gets hit on all the time. Like... Okay, I'm sorry. This has nothing to do with your story, but it's important to me, K. Trevor.
I think of, like, well, I mean, like, that'd be kind of bold, going up and hitting on a cop in uniform.
Yeah. But maybe she doesn't get asked out, and maybe that would be the kind of bold move she'd appreciate. Maybe she's got grandpa issues. I don't know. Maybe she likes really old, soon-to-be-dead people. You don't know, K. Trevor.
No.
This is Humble and Fred.
We've got more with acclaimed comedian K. Trevor Wilson coming up. You're listening to the best of Humble and Fred. I'm Philip Hong. First, we have a couple of very important announcements.
A lot of times people...
And I know one guy who looks at it every day. I won't say his name, but it rhymes with Ferd Pattersnook.
The retirement Sherpa is the guy for you. He's the one to make sure that you don't get a little... You know, don't get ahead of yourself. It's all going to work itself out. But the idea is to have a plan. You know, taking Warren Buffett as an example, you know, the buy, hold, prosper model. The reason it's been so successful for so many people for so many years is because of people like Tim Niblett, tim.niblett@raymondjames.ca. Get a hold of him. He'll get a hold of your portfolio. And next thing you know, you'll be fine. And it's friend dandy. Tim is a portfolio manager, and Raymond James is a member of the Canadian Securities
Investors Protection Fund.
Very good. Let's talk about Spearhead Beer, my brother.
Yeah, and let's talk about the Sam Roberts Band Ale. Oh, yeah. Spearhead has teamed up with Sam Roberts to create the Sam Roberts Band Ale, this American Amber Ale, brewed with the hit Canadian rock band. It's 4.5%, blends English and American ale, and it has a zesty finish with a touch of hop bitterness that strikes a refreshing chord. It's the Sam Roberts Band Ale, available at beer stores and LCBOs and from Spearhead Brewing Company out of Kingston, Ontario.
This is Humble and Fred.
Hey, Trevor Wilson, are you working as much as you want to?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm working all the time, so I really can't complain. Like, other guys talk about it being slow. I haven't seen that in a while.
Good for you. You owe your dad some money.
Yep.
Can we assume that he helped springboard or... support your desire to be a comic?
My folks have been very supportive.
It's great.
But mostly I owe my dad money because I forgot to pay taxes for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
And then they wanted the money, and I didn't have it.
How do you do that?
These comics, you know, he's too busy writing.
Everybody around you is going, hey, it's April 30th, it's time to get your taxes in. You were thinking,
not this year.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
He's like, I got jokes to write and crack to smoke.
Yeah. Can't be that serious.
Yeah.
It's not that I owe that much, right?
So you paid...
I didn't think I did.
Yeah. And then how much...
the penalties.
Do you want to tell us what the number was, or was it a fairly sizable number? Or
it kept coming down, because at first they assess you an insane amount that I think they just make up. And then you go to your accountant with all your stuff and go, please fix this, and then they bring it all the way back down to a reasonable reasonable number.
Well, the government's not stupid. They settle for what they think they can get.
Yeah.
So. I love the fact that they come up with a number. I don't know. We just thought this would be a good number.
Yeah.
How many letters in the kid's name? So recently during Just for Laughs in Montreal, there was something a lot of the comedy world was buzzing about. It was called a roast battle. And it was basically comedians against other comedians, kind of like a mini comedy roast.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Where you basically roast each other.
It was like a mixing roasting with sort of rap battle format.
And you do it on the fly, right? And it's like...
No, I mean, we write the jokes beforehand.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes you change on the fly depending on what has just been said to you, but you do your homework and you put in your due diligence before stepping in.
Sure, it's kind of like doing the debaters on CBC. All that stuff's written. So how many battles did you do?
Over the course of the 3 nights, I did 4 battles.
That's a lot of jokes to write.
It was. Because you need 4, and then you got to come up with some alternates in case someone burns one of your jokes. And you got to have extras in case you go to bonus rounds, which I had happen to me last year when they sort of did the test version, not for TV.
Let's have a listen. This is Kay Trevor and a woman named Olivia Grace. Now, what's happened is she's hurt herself.
She's a 20-year-old comic from Orange County, and the night before our battle, she fell backstage and gashed her leg open and needed 35 stitches in her leg.
K. Trevor has 1K in front of his name because he's the size of 1,000 Trevors.
Which is a pretty funny joke because Trevor's big, right? Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I'm just impressed Olivia's here. Olivia needed 35 stitches to close up her gash yesterday and another 20 to fix the hole in her leg.
Yeah. I like that. That's pretty
funny.
That's
a great concept.
It is a great concept.
It's a fun show, and it's a great writing exercise. I mean, I'm generally not an insult comic, so it was great to get out of my comfort zone and try something new.
So you said you do your homework, you prepare all that stuff. You don't know what's coming your way, so...
Yeah, I have an idea. You know, I always have an idea. I mean, I've done enough roasts and now a few roast battles to know I'm going to get several different variations on I'm fat and going to die soon.
Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at Kay Trevor, he's a big guy, man mountain of comedy. You know going in, you're going to get, you're a big guy. Although her joke about there being 1K in front of your name because they're like 1,000 Trevors is a funny joke.
So that's what it stands for, 1,000.
Yep. I'm always amazed. Like, just when I thought I've heard every variation, you jump into a roast battle and someone catches you with an angle you hadn't thought of. Or
so did you win that battle?
I beat Olivia in the end.
And apparently Whoopi had some kind words for you. She thought you were really funny.
She really enjoyed, especially the last joke, the Friars Club one. She said it made her pee a bit.
Well, she'd like that because that's kind of, you have, it's a bit of an older reference. I'm not sure that Idris and Robin would get that, but.
I was really
it's
happy.
It's a great reference.
It made Jeff Ross's list of the 10 best jokes of the roast battles.
Amazing.
And sort of a nod to the original Roastmasters, the Friars Club.
You know, and that was the heyday of Jack Benny and Milton Berle and all these guys that built the Friars Club in New York. It was basically a place where sort of old Jewish comics would go and just riff on each other. And that's sort of how these comedy roasts got started.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Jeff is a big fan of the history of roasting, and
well, we used to talk about those the Dean Martin roast. That's the tradition of that's where it came out of George Burns and all those guys.
I can still watch that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Dude, anytime you get Don Rickles up there.
Oh my God. And what's this guy? Red Buttons never got a dinner. That was his bit. So and so never got a dinner.
And Foster Brooks, who my dad loved. Although that I grew a little tired of that quick, but
I used to actually think he was drunk.
Really?
Yeah. I was a little watching that. That guy sure drinks a lot. Then of course I grew up. Then I put the comma. Not compared to me. Kay Trevor Wilson. You can follow him on Twitter #. Not hashtag. What is it? @ Kay Trevor Wilson. On Instagram, people just hashtag K Trevor Wilson and ktrevorwilson.com.
I'm the only K Trevor Wilson on the internet, so it's easy to find me.
Okay. Well, we wish you nothing but the best. And there he is, K Trevor Wilson.
Woo! Come on.
Thanks, guys. Why aren't you guys applauding for. What's the matter with these kids? They don't care.
This is Humble and Fred.
There's more to The Best of Humble and Fred on the way. I'm Philip Hong. Thank you so much for listening to The Best of Humble and Fred on air, online. We've got highlights of the week as well as more fun archive segments. Please keep listening. The Best of Humble and Fred, powered by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Spearhead Brewing Company, The Chambers Plan, Gig Sky, Strain Print, HomegrownKits.ca, and Cannabis Career Network.
Your assessment of my discussion of the amount of time girlfriend Rachel was gone.
Right.
Aside.
Right.
Apparently I came up more aggressive than I meant.
Oh, imagine that.
Yeah. But it was a long time, you know? It was like,
yeah.
When she said, oh, I'm going to go with my girlfriend to Palm Springs in LA, I was like, that's cool. You know, a couple of days might be good for me, you know, to catch up on, you know, a bunch of TV and things.
Right.
But after about 4 or 5 days, I was kind of like, okay, well, this has been fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got into 7 days, and I was like, when are you coming home?
Right.
So I was...
That's great.
Yeah, it was. It was very nice. It was the longest sort of break that we've had since we started, you know, hanging out, which is coming up to a year. A year. Think about that. In 17 days, it will be a year since we met.
Wow.
Went by pretty quick.
Certainly did.
You know?
Time flies.
Yes, it does.
No.
Especially when you're having fun. Yes, time passages.
Even saying that to Phil, I mean... I should know, but I said 7 years he's been with us, and just seems like, you know, a blink of an eye, snap of your fingers, and it goes by, so.
Well, we've told the story many times, but I think about the day that I was in the old studio, and you were out in the main area there. Phil came in, you were the first to meet him, and you came into the studio after breathlessly saying, you've got to go meet this kid. You were so excited, and with good reason. You said, you got to meet this guy. He said, you got to go say hi to him. So I went out there, saw Phil, was overwhelmed by the wonder that is Phil.
Well, after years in the industry, right, you meet people, and you immediately think about how will this transfer to on air.
Yeah.
And the minute I met Phil, I thought, oh, this will, how he's got to meet this guy. Here's an on air winner.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Sean, it was very similar with you.
Uh-huh.
Like, hey, you got to meet this Sean kid. He might be able to help us put a tarp down.
Tarp!
Anyway.
We'll get Sean on the air and he can turn a sentence into a paragraph.
That's right. Sean's like...
That's work. A joke.
Sean's like sentence
That's
helper.
A joke.
Hey, Sean, this one, how am I going to stretch this one sentence into an hour? Hey, come on. Sean's the greatest.
He can take it.
He's a good boy.
We're working with him. I gave him another couple of points the other day on economizing. He'll get there. He'll get there. Yeah.
Well, the first thing we tried to stress with Sean is when you present a story, you should know something about it. Like, my favorite is when Sean will go, hey, this woman got, she got screwed in the ear by a baboon on the weekend. You're like, where did it happen? I don't know.
Yet you keep having back
yeah, we, like, literally, the first question on any story Sean presents will say, so when did that happen? Let me hang on a second. I'm not sure. Anyway, this is today is about Phil. Today's Phil's birthday, a blessed, blessed event.
You know,
and, we couldn't be happier. Sincerely couldn't be happier to know this kid.
I've been with my wife 38, well, married 38 and a half years. I think back in 1982, we were apart for 2 weeks as I went to Europe on a hockey sort of junket thing. Since then, I don't think we've ever been apart more than 7 days at once. Crazy, eh? And if she... Even after 38 years, you know, you take each other for granted. You do, let's be honest, after that length of time. I think if she went away for 8 or 9 days, it'd be the same thing. Just wouldn't feel right. You'd be wanting her to come back. At least I hope I feel that way. You know?
You would.
I know.
This is partly for the just a bit of a bit. But I just, when I saw Rachel yesterday, I was joking with her. Like, why'd you go away so long? Why'd you have to be away 9 days? She goes, well, it's really more like 7. I go, no. And then I counted all the sleeps. And Just because, you know, I like... I
so
like
when did she actually get back? Yesterday?
No, she got back late Saturday night.
Okay, what time?
She got home around 12:31.
Did you pick her up at the airport?
12:31.
Did you pick her up?
No.
At the airport?
Oh, I did okay. not. I did drop her off at the airport the week before, though.
But you didn't pick her up?
No, I didn't. She's a grown woman. She's a grown woman. She can get home on her own.
Well, I actually said that to her. What? You were driving back from...
St. Catharines?
On Saturday night?
No, I got back from St. Catharines on Saturday at 10 o'clock. On Sunday, I didn't get back until midnight.
Huh?
But I did. I said, should I come and get you? And she's like, no, sweetie, it's going to be way past your bedtime, which she knows is, you know, 9:30, 10. So I saw her yesterday afternoon, and she was here for the evening.
Oh, I bet. I bet she was.
She was here. We had a beautiful dinner. We made dinner together.
What'd you have?
Got a really nice, like really nice ribeye steak, big enough for both of us.
And how did you prepare it?
Very simple.
Did you do the thing where you fried it and then baked it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta try that.
I watched this new series. Well, it's not a series. It's basically a 4-part docu thing on Netflix called Heat, Acid, Salt, Fat, something like that. Mm-hmm. Seen on Netflix?
No.
It's a woman who wrote a book. Anyway, I'd been watching it, and she talked about how heat and salt make such a difference in how you coordinate those two when it comes to steaks. And she cooked her steak basically like I do. You salt it. That's all you do. You know what her big takeaway was? And I thought everyone knew this. Her biggest thing with meat was leave it out.
Let it get to room temperature.
Yeah,
I know.
The other thing, make sure you make sure those pots you use are heated before you start sticking stuff in them.
What do you mean? You mean frying pan?
Yeah. Make sure it's not, you don't go, you don't put anything in it until it's like super hot. Like some, you know, start cooking it right away. And her tip was really simple.
Any oil?
No. Here's what she did. She just threw some water droplets on it.
Oh,
on the pan. And when it gets to that sizzle, that's when you can put it on. Now, she didn't put oil on it, but I do a little bit for my steak.
Doesn't it burn though if it's too hot? At that point?
No. Mm. So you basically sear it for, I seared it for 3 minutes.
Oh, did you put the oil on the meat or in the pan?
In the pan.
Oh, okay.
I do. She didn't.
Okay.
So I seared it for about 3.5 minutes. Then I bake it for 400 degrees for another 3.5. Take it out and let it rest for 3 minutes.
Now, you don't sear both sides, do you?
Well, the second side gets seared because you flip it.
Because you put it in the oven.
No, you flip it and put it in the oven.
Yeah. So that's how it gets
and
seared.
The last thing I did is I just basted it a little bit with its... with the juice and oil.
Mm-hmm. Did you... so what's the temperature with that?
About 400, baking it.
So it's hot, it's up there.
It's up there. Then you let it rest. The other thing I'd learned is you need to let it rest for at least half the time you cooked it.
Yes.
Made green beans. Another thing she said, and I didn't realize this, is, you put salt water when you do pasta, right? Put a little salt in the water?
And a little bit of butter or oil.
Okay. Well, what she said was most people, when they cook pasta or things like vegetables in salted water, they don't salt the water enough. Mm-hmm. And her point was it should be salty enough when you taste it that you get a good hit of salt. Because she said when you cook things like green beans, they're only in there for 4 or 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. You've got to give them a lot of salt for them to absorb some of it. Well, I got to tell you, I did that last night, and it was amazing.
It's just my wife has become a little salt sensitive. She notices salty more than she used to, so I'm very reluctant. I watch it with the salt. I think maybe I'll leave that for
the seasoning after. Yeah,
but it doesn't give the same effect as when you cook it in. Right.
Well, I get that. I'm not a huge green bean fan, but they were delicious. And the other thing she said too is you just cook them till they're a little, they still have some crunch to them.
I went out for dinner last Saturday night to these friends of ours, and he did beef tenderloin on the barbecue. Now, beef tenderloin is fantastic as far as tenderness goes. But, you know, beef tenderloin on its own, as tender as it is, doesn't have a lot of flavor.
It's because there's not a lot of fat in it.
Exactly. But what he did, he added this sort of whatever the seasoning was or the jus that he put on top of it, it was just a home run because... there's nothing worse than a tasty steak that's tough. You know what I mean? Like, you're really... it's tasty, but it's hard to eat. But this was fantastic, because you can't go wrong with beef tenderloin as far as tenderness goes.
Now, did you have a huge portion, or did you have
no,
like a
no,
normal
just
portion?
No, just one of those medallions. It was enough. Yeah.
Because I've noticed when I eat with Rachel, and we only had one steak last night, because we had steak, we had potatoes. She made this crunched... I can't even describe it. Mm-hmm. She boils it, and then she... pushes them flat, and then she bakes them sort of like they're not mashed potatoes, but they're smashed potatoes. But I would normally buy that steak and eat it all myself. But I'm with her. I eat just a normal.
Well, you want to leave the impression that you're not just a big pig.
Right. But you know what I mean?
I'm same way.
Yeah. I'm trying to be like, oh, I just eat a little bit. I'm fine. Because I like to stay, you know, live and limber. But it was enough.
Yeah.
That's what I noticed when I eat with her, that the portions we eat together, I get enough food. Yeah. But if I'm by myself, I just yeah, I would have eaten everything. And I would eat in that steak by myself easy.
I know we had the kids over this weekend, the grandkids, and we had bought some smart food, you know, the popcorn that they like.
Yeah.
And then as a special treat, I bought some Pringles pizza flavored. I just saw them. I thought the kids would like them. You put them out for the kids, and you know what little kids are like? Like a big portion to them is like 7 or 8 kernels and 3 chips. But when they're out, every time you walk by, you grab one, right?
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, where did it all go? What? Why are the kids eating so much? And it's actually you. We eat 2 chips at a time, but you walk by the table 47 times.
Yeah. Right. I have a trouble with Pringles. I will eat as many Pringles as you put in front of me till they're gone.
This is Humble and Fred.
More from the Best of Humble and Fred Week coming up on the Best of Humble and Fred on air and online. I'm Philip Hong. First, we have a couple of very important announcements.
If you're trying to make your experience with cannabis better, like a lot of people, make sure you get the StrainPrint app. Download it for free, Apple or Google Play. StrainPrint.ca. You know, the people there have been on the forefront of research when it comes to the experience of cannabis. It's not just about getting high, not just about, you know, getting all, you know, messed up and just watching Netflix for hours. It's also about, you know, medicine. It's about the technology and the way to connect with others on your cannabis journey. You put in the, you know, what is it, your whatever your symptoms are, and then you get StrainPrint will tell you what others are using to combat them, whether it's, you know, frozen shoulder or tendinitis or a wonky knee. These are all the things these are all the things. My foot is bugging me, even though I don't have the gout.
Phil, rub Howard's foot.
I got something with my foot. StrainPrint.ca. Find out what to do with it. StrainPrint.ca. Use cannabis better. We also want to remind you that if you're a business looking to employ people in the cannabis industry, or you're somebody looking to transition in your career, Wednesday, November 28th, at the Pearson Convention Center on Steeles Avenue, it is the Cannabis Career Network Career Fair. Impressive networking opportunities, the right job for the right people, staffing problems solved. If you need help navigating the new laws, you can have your questions answered by experts. If you're looking to transition into the legal from the dark arts of illegal cannabis,
the gray market.
I'm going to tell you quickly, I tried to order stuff online yesterday from the OCS. I found it clunky.
Oh, yeah.
I went online, and by the way, they're back up and running. They're saying it's a 2-day delivery window. But I just found their selection and their interface a little bit clunky. And so I went old school. I ordered it from somewhere else. Okay? Arrest me. Make sure you check it out. Cannabis Career Network, Wednesday, November 28th, Pearson Convention Center.
This is Humble and Fred.
I guess we shouldn't put this off any longer. Huh? Our little boy... Our little baby boy.
Rudra?
Our little Phil.
Oh, Phil.
Sean.
Our little tyke that we, you know, one day like Moses, he came floating down the river in a basket, and there he was, all baby brand new, and now he's all grown up. Phil Hong, ladies and gentlemen, his 30th birthday today.
Yay! 30.
Phil,
I didn't
Phil,
know.
Phil,
what?
You
I
are so good.
When I get a haircut, it's either New Year's or my birthday.
Hear what he said, too. You got a haircut. And did I say it looks a bit different or something? He said I had to change my style.
Yeah.
Because of a bald spot.
Yes, there's a tiny spot that's forming around this part of my head. And so the hairdresser said, I can't do your short bangs like you used to. And I'm like, oh.
Why, though?
Yeah.
Because she can't cover it properly anymore.
Oh, okay.
With the older hairstyle.
What did you call the original cut that you've been getting for 30 years?
Vietnamese military.
Yeah, he told me that.
It's as short as possible. Yeah.
Vietnamese military.
Yeah, it's literally
so, we have so many questions. You only get your hair cut when? On your birthdays?
Yeah, birthdays, New Year's, that sort of thing. Certain holidays.
So twice a year, basically.
Pretty much.
How many 30-year-olds are running around the city sporting a Vietnamese military cut?
Oh, it's cheap.
So what is it now? So it's not a Vietnamese military. It's like Vietnamese.
A Vietnamese guy in a suit now. Because what? Usually you part your hair like this.
Can I offer you something, though?
Yeah.
If you got a little bit of a bald, don't get into the comb-over thing. It's just you'll be doing that for the next 30 years.
Oh, absolutely.
Live with it.
Here's what you need to do. You need to get a black magic marker. And every morning, just squiggle in a new character back there for people to look at.
Or why don't we work out something with, what was that hair doctor guy that we used to have in?
Dr. Robert Jones,
that looked after you.
I think it's Robert Jones. Mr. Jones.
You want to get him? I don't think you can do anything with that spot there. You know what you should
why?
Do?
Why?
No. I don't think they can. You should become maybe a little more, maybe convert to Hebrew and just wear a little yarmulke back there.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Why not?
A little beanie.
Maybe a hat?
Let's talk about the rice.
But you say that, too. You know, most 30-year-olds, especially this time of year, run around with those little skull cap things on. Yes. Why don't you do that?
Just wear a toque all the time.
Yeah.
How does it feel? You're 30 years old. 30 years old. You're married.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
You're still living with your sisters, mm-hmm. daughters,
yes,
mother.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And you are eventually, your mom's going to retire. You're going to own that house.
I will take over the house. She'll move to maybe Cambodia. Which
and
is a nice place.
Your wife, did she give you a present for your 30th birthday?
She asked me what I wanted for my birthday, which is respectful because, you know, what does she need to know about that, right? Because I don't like presents. She knows that I don't like presents. And so she asked that question. I said, well, how about some birthday sex? And so she'll give me my present in 2 weeks because we'll be taking a break and I'm going to Singapore for that.
poor girlfriend, Rachel. She's just there having a coffee, trying to ignore this conversation.
You're in a marriage.
Answering emails to grown-ups. Rudra's over there probably doing something with Gig Sky in California. Even Sean has something better to do. Anyway, so you're going to get your wife's going to give you sex for your birthday.
Yeah, we're probably going to have a nice romantic dinner or something nice for her.
Wasn't that lovely?
That's what matters. Yeah.
He's been with us for 7 years.
No, I know.
He was 23 when we met him.
I just
think 23, actually.
Yes, it was October 31st.
I just like that year. I like that that idea, though, of so you live in the house with your parents, then you're mother moves out, and you get ownership of the house.
Right, and I take care of the taxes and fees and things like that.
But it's not going to cost you anything. You won't have a mortgage or anything.
We have a very small mortgage.
Okay, but what I'm saying is you won't have to purchase the house from them.
No, it won't be like $600,000, which is what the house is
worth. So they just give you the house as the firstborn in the family, or the male, firstborn male.
Well, just firstborn with money. Firstborn who has a job.
That's a pretty good concept, because I know money goes a long way in Cambodia.
Mm-hmm.
I could move out of mine, give it to Danny, and then we could retire in Cambodia.
Who, you and me?
No, me. Well, maybe.
All right, I'm in.
Or me and Dahl.
That's the best offer.
Because like CPP's like, what, $13,000, $14,000 a year?
Right. And
that would go a long way in Cambodia.
It's like $30,000 one of these units.
Yeah.
In Cambodia.
Is that CPP? Is that what you get when you have emphysema? What is that?
That's COPD.
Oh, COP. Hey, COP.
That took my mother. Stop. Don't. You shouldn't. Oh, it did? You shouldn't make jokes about that.
Okay.
It took my mother. Took her to a better place.
Yeah, it did. It took her. That's what took your mother? I thought being 86 took your mother.
Yeah, and the complications of COPD.
I just saw a bunch of commercials for COPD on the weekend. People seem to be doing just fine.
On that note, the old flu shot propaganda is ramping up again.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You don't get a flu shot, do you?
I've never had a flu shot.
Neither have
Although I think I might this year.
You know, as each year passes, you feel more.
Debate every year.
You feel more and more guilty about it.
I don't know if I feel guilty. I just want to know. Do you get a flu shot? No.
I'm feeling guilty.
Why?
Well, because all the, I call it propaganda. I don't know if I should. But you just hear so much that it's sort of your duty to get a flu shot so you don't get the flu and spread it around. But I'm the same as you. I never really get the flu. But that's stupid because, you know, it's a preventative thing. So,
well, propaganda may not be the right word, but the thing that goes around is that, and this is usually from people that have had the flu. They say, wow, if you get it once, You'll get the flu shot after that for sure.
Why?
Because apparently getting the flu is pretty bad. Like when you get the real flu, like I've been. I don't remember last time I've been really sick, but apparently when you get the flu, it can knock you out for weeks on end.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's propaganda or this is the time of year people go, hey, maybe you should get the flu shot. I think it's interesting you can get it just at Shoppers.
Yeah. You go to the pharmacy and...
Oh, yeah. All the signs are up now.
So the pharmacist can give you a flu shot?
Mm-hmm. Right. As long as they're certified.
Buddy. Mr. Buddy. He's not even a doctor.
Hey, buddy. The guy that gave me the deal on Tylenol, I'm going to go get the flu shot from him. Here, I'll give you a deal. I'll use the same needle as I used in that guy. It's half the price.
Yeah.
Oh, it's free, though, isn't it?
Yeah, by the way.
That's probably what the guy's doing. When I'll make this go farther.
He'll double charge.
Mm-hmm. When are you bringing my Tylenol?
Oh, right. Do you want it?
Well, you said you were going to
get it. No, I know. Like, you know what? I'll do that because I don't use it. It's good for you.
I'm
good for
you. Flu shot.
Good for your family.
Good for you.
Do you get the flu shot?
Yes, every year.
Yeah.
And we go to the Shopper to do
Rudy?
It.
Rudy?
Yeah.
Do you get it?
No.
GFR doesn't? They don't have the flu in Georgetown?
I had swine flu.
Yeah. Of course you did.
He did.
I still don't get the flu shot.
He got it from a pig.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Pig, yeah.
You swine. You swine, you give me the flu.
I
think we should get him. Let's get him in here.
I just... Pardon me?
Not? I mean, here's the thing I look at it. For the sake of 15 seconds, boom, I got a flu shot, I'm done.
Okay.
Let's do it.
But I'm just taken aback because it will be the first time. So up until this year, it was, I'm not getting one.
Up until this conversation?
Yeah. And I know we have the conversation every year, but it's a conversation worth having every year. Number one, because it's something to think about. Number two, nobody remembers what we said a year ago.
I don't remember what we said 20 minutes ago.
But I don't know. I'm caught because driving in this morning, and I heard a conversation about it again yesterday, more and more it's like that feeling like it's your civil duty to get one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, is it?
Yeah,
I've never had one. Well, remember back, this is going back 20 years almost.
Mm.
Remember they used to come in and do them? Chorus used to have somebody actually come in the radio station to do them.
You'd go in the boardroom after the show, and there'd be some woman there. What's a woman? Because, you know, they know what they're doing.
And then I remember, and I think it was Earl Veal at the time, because he used to coordinate all that stuff. He'd say, oh, don't forget your flu shot. I said, I'm not getting one. And then sort of being chastised a bit. Well, you should get one. They're here. How convenient.
Oh, yes.
Go get your flu shot. Mm-hmm. No, I don't want one.
Well, look at you taking
a stand.
Well,
and
the thing
that's
is...
That's 20 years ago.
I know. Yeah, let's go get him.
What do you mean, go get him?
Let's just go.
You,
you
and I. Go for it.
We'll go after the show.
No, I'm going to my buddy in Brampton.
Well, can't we do... Why don't we do some
more things?
Do you
want to come up to Brampton?
Why don't we do some more things together?
Yeah, visit Tylenol Buddy.
Why don't we,
right?
Yeah, my Tylenol Buddy.
Why don't we do some more things together? Like, go get a flu shot. Maybe talk... I got to get my snow tires on. Maybe I'll go and make an appointment and sit there. I do it at Wendell Clark's Meineke.
Oh, up on Highway 70.
Oh, up in Woodbridge.
Oh, West Woodbridge.
Hey, getting back to you.
Yes.
Today is your birthday.
It is.
And sincerely, on behalf of the management and staff of the Humble and Fred Show, I would like to wish you a very happy birthday.
Oh, it's too kind of you. It's too kind of you.
And I echo that.
Well, thank you, Fred.
I would like to say on behalf of our company that this operation, we've said it before, we'll say it again, there's Boone and there's you, and without whom we couldn't operate. We could have done this show a lot of different ways, but without you and Mr. Boone.
So you just passed your 7th anniversary here?
Yeah, yes. Well, 6, I think.
Did you get your 7th anniversary book? Or gift?
Oh, not yet.
Because we have a catalog, right? And each year that you're here, you get to pick a gift out of the catalog based on your service.
The Humble and Fred Employee Gift Catalog.
So do I get like a pack of chia seeds or something for year 6?
Listen, don't you worry. There's lots of great items. There's some hats people left us.
On your 10th anniversary, you can have anything in the fridge.
I'll take the bottle of water.
15th anniversary, you get to keep the fridge.
Oh, my.
Well, you may find yourself turning over in bed. And you may find yourself beside Humble and Fred. And you may ask yourself, my God, How did they get here?
The best of Humble and Fred, powered by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Spearhead Brewing Company, Strainprint, The Chambers Plan, Gig Sky, HomegrownKits.ca, and Cannabis Career Network.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
Welcome back. I'm Philip Pong. This is the second hour of The Best of Humble and Fred, powered by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Spearhead Brewing Company, Gig Sky, Strainprint, HomegrownKits.ca, The Chambers Plan, and Cannabis Career Network. In this segment of The Best of Humble and Fred, we're featuring some archive segments, some miscellaneous chats that were featured previously, and we're going to hear first about Johnny Slapshot's very pristine report card.
On the way home from picking up Stan on Sunday, I dropped in on the Pattersons, got myself a new shirt,
oh, yes,
which was cool,
mm-hmm,
and sat and talked to Fred and Delise, that's who lives there,
mm-hmm,
in the Patterson household. Now, I was only allowed entry into the front because I don't know what was going on in the back. You know, that's for special guests.
And state visits.
And there was, of course, the pile of white laundry, or the white underwear. I've already talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Fred's white underwear was there in a beautiful pile. That impressed me. But probably the most impressive was the story of Johnny Slapshot and his report card.
Hmm.
Now, yeah. I think you told the one story.
The one story was his last report card. The teacher noticed that one day there was a kid eating lunch all by himself,
right,
for a couple of days. And then John noticed this and went over and left his friends and sat and had lunch with this kid.
Mm-hmm. You get that, Phil? John,
mm-hmm,
like you've seen a prison movie.
John the Saint. Yes.
Saint Johnny Slapshot.
Oh, yes.
But you know, in prison, there's always that cool guy that goes over and
it's like,
maybe
hey,
prison's the wrong analogy. But anyway, you know
what
I'm
talking
about.
You're eating your slop. Yeah.
You've seen The Breakfast Club. So I'm sitting with Fred and Dahl, and Fred says, or somebody said, I mean, it was Dahl's iPad,
mm-hmm,
showed me the comment section of Johnny Slapshot's latest report card.
Right.
Amazing.
And, you know, there's academic stuff that you're proud of, but nothing like this. It says, since the beginning of the year, John has demonstrated positive growth when dealing with peers. John has developed various strategies to ensure that his personal well-being and well-being of others is being respected. Example, when constructing at the block area, another child was upset that no one would play with them and the house they built. John invited this child into his play, even when the friends he was interacting with said no. John told the friends that it's not nice to not include people. It hurts their feelings, and he has had his feelings hurt like that before. John has taken on a real leadership role with JK friends this year. He watches out for their well-being.
There you go. Huh? How do you like that?
St. John.
I don't even know the kid, and I wanted to cry.
He should have a fountain.
So.
There should be a fountain.
Just think of the... He said, let this kid in.
Yeah.
And he's 5 years old.
Yeah.
And they said, no, don't let that kid play. And he says, no, I've had my hurl... In as many words, says, no,
right,
I've had that happen to me, and I don't like it.
Great leaders eat last.
Yes.
He is a great leader.
Mm-hmm.
Phil.
Yes.
Stop your nonsense for a second.
Well, our next prime minister.
Hang on.
Yeah.
All right.
No, that's what I'm thinking. He's
okay.
He's a saint.
Phil.
The weird thing is, there's this kid. He's 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Sees another kid, brokers the deal, and then there's his grandfather. Which one of these?
Shaka hoo hoo.
Which one of these is a 5 year old? Can't wait.
And I haven't even started pounding him with the do unto others thing like I did with my kids, right? Because we never had religion or anything. I used to just say, like, basically, you treat others like you want to be treated. It's a very simple concept, and it's really the basis of our survival, is it not?
Yeah.
When you think about it. And I haven't even started that with him yet, because I plan on it, because I didn't think he's old enough to say, Johnny, you know, do unto others, and what did
well,
that
he's
mean,
already
Papa?
Figured it out, man.
No, I know he has, instinctively. It's fantastic.
They say that kids between, I guess, you know, 0 and 6 years old, between 3 and 6 especially, really form the basics and the basis for their personalities for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, the
good
brain, Well, the brain keeps developing until age 24, but between 3 and 6, it really coalesces, or whatever the word is. It stamps them. Mm-hmm. So this is exactly when you're supposed to start that programming. But he's already figured it out. That's the part. We were talking about that at your place. Like, where does that come from? I mean, Mel's a very nice person. I don't really know Josh. But there's a lot of that that's innate. Yeah. You know, it's in their, you know, their nature, not their nurture.
And you see other kids 4 or 5 years old or whatever.
And they're pricks.
And there's a little nasty side of them. There's nothing about... And listen, this is my grandson. What else am I going to say? Because you could see some little prick walk in a room and their grandparents, oh, he's wonderful. He's a beautiful little child, when you know he's not.
No. Mm-hmm.
But this kid... Here I am now. I'm the grandparent. But I'm telling you, there's nothing like that about him. He just loves everybody and everything, and he's good with other kids, and really gets upset when other kids aren't nice to other kids or him. No, it's good. And if you're saying that life stamp happens now, well,
very
then
early.
We're in good shape.
No, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there you are. You know, you're the grandfather that's teaching mm-hmm. him about, you know, making sure you're good to others for the survival of our mm-hmm. species. And then there's me, you know, I'll be able to teach my grandkid the difference between, you know, mango haze and Afghan bull rider.
Yeah, but that might be, at the time, a good lesson.
Good lesson.
Uh-huh. Papa, mm-hmm. this strain of sativa, is it mm-hmm. good for anxiety?
Mm-hmm.
Papa, I'm very anxious when I'm around you. What can I do? What can I do for such things?
No, by the time I have grandchildren, I'll barely even be speaking anymore. I'll just be in a haze for the... I've decided, you know, based on what happens at the end, mm-hmm. I'm just going to go out in a fuzzy haze of bleary-eyed Afghan bull rider. Mm-hmm. By the way, Afghan bull rider is a strain of marijuana.
You know what I've noticed, too, about being your perspective on life?
Mm-hmm.
For example, I've been in my house 22 years now. There was a time that if we were down in the basement and Danny got a little rambunctious and whipped a ball off the wall or something, and mm-hmm. I'd look and think, oh, there's a mark on the wall. Now I have to deal with that. Now John doesn't, and I look at the mark and I think, I'm not going to change that, because every time I look at that, I'm going to think about him having fun. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Like Sidney Crosby's washing machine, right?
Yeah. It's like weird. It's like the other day, I have these pillars in my basement, and he whipped a shot against it, and the molding, a little piece of the molding came off the pillar, and he felt bad. And I said, it's okay, John, don't worry about it. And then he came back next week, and he went right to, and it was still loose.
Mm.
And he said, Papa, this isn't fixed yet. I said, it's okay, pal, don't worry about it, I'll get to it. So about 10 minutes later, he goes, look, Papa. And he had gone in my workroom and got a piece of duct tape and taped it, and was very proud that he had taped this piece of molding back.
Wow.
Do you think I'm going to move that tape now? Looks like hell. I ain't moving it. It's fantastic.
This kid's amazing. He plays well with others,
mm-hmm.
and he's got his own DIY show. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Duct Tape Johnny. That's my kind of DIY.
Yeah. No, but he did that, and I thought, you know, years ago, seriously, I would have got the glue out right away, and thought, oh, you know, it's supposed to look like this. I don't
find some putty.
I don't care anymore.
Well, sure.
I don't care.
Well, because in the grand scheme of things...
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
The fact that you're just, you know, a few short years away from imminent death.
Yeah.
And we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking about you. You know, I have several friends. Well, two really close ones that are grandfathers now, you and Danny Kaye. And it's weird, you know? It's like I'm still inside my head. I still think I'm fairly... I don't know what I think inside my head, but I can't believe I have friends that are grandparents.
Right.
You know? And mm-hmm. and pretty hip guys, you know? Pretty cool guys, active. Mm-hmm. You know? You don't look like what I thought a grandfather would... When you're a kid, you think grandparents. So my grandparents, my memory of them
right.
is that they were super old and mm-hmm. frail and,
mm-hmm.
you know?
No. And they often were in their 60s.
And then there's you mm-hmm. sitting there next to your wife in the sunshine. You know, she's an angel and you're wearing cool shorts. You know, whippity-dippy with your iPads and your white underwear. I mean, you guys are cool.
You're really hung up in that white underwear. I should give it to you.
What?
No, I
just needed it for the reference. I got my own whites. Yes. I just don't wear them anymore. I'm too scared.
I'm too scared.
You know, even
especially in a relationship
That's
now.
True.
Exactly.
See, I drop my drawers in front of Dolly. She goes, oh, it's happened again. And we chuckle. Now, sure. If you were to do that in front of Rachel, it's way too soon.
No.
Howie, what's that? Howard, did you sit on a chocolate ice cream cone?
Howard, are you okay? There seems to be. Why is there red in your underwear?
Oh, you made mud pie.
It's pizza sauce.
Yeah. Oh, it's pizza sauce. It's grape juice.
I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is that we are all, our age of people were younger. Grandparents were not, hanging out like you and your wife with your cool vibes and stuff.
My grandfather, Fred, died at, I think he was just 68, which is me, like, in five and a half years. And, he had a war injury, lost part of his lung. So, I mean, that's part of the story.
Mm.
But the whole time I remember him, he was not a well man. He was my old grandfather who used to cough a lot.
Yeah.
In five more years, that would be it for me. It's like life really hasn't even begun yet. Like it has, but, there's still a lot to go. But back in the 60s and that, guys... Men died in their late 60s, early 70s. That's the way it was.
My mother's father, Zeta Sam, I don't know how old he was when he died, but when I was sort of a little older than John, like 6, 7, 8, I liked him, but he kind of scared me a little bit. Because he was old and he was smoking all the time. Mm-hmm. He was coughing. Mm-hmm. This is a man, Phil, who delivered milk by a horse-drawn carriage.
Wow.
In Canada, mm-hmm. in the 30s or whatever they did, But he's not... wearing cool surfer shorts with his hot wife. Your wife's very attractive. Let's be honest.
I know she is.
Well, do you?
I know.
All right.
This is Humble and Fred.
There's more to the best of Humble and Fred in this miscellaneous segment with more chat. I'm Philip Hong. First, a couple of chats featuring some fun, interesting announcements.
Let's talk about our good friends at Gig Sky, Freddy.
Yes.
Because they're doing great work.
Oh, you're not kidding me.
Oh, man.
At GigSky, exciting news. They've added flexibility to the data plans, increasing the number of countries with LTE service, the reduced price with some of their most popular plans, and they've added more data to other plans. All right? For example, North American and Europe, 300 megabytes, $10 for a day. Fantastic. Way better deal than you'd get anywhere else. You can go right up to, like, a couple of gigs for $30 over 15 days. How about that? Just nuts. And of course, there is plans for Asia, and you might want to look at that. Go to gigsky.com, and you can sign up and find out about the SIM card that might be in your new phone, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So GigSky, making it very simple and affordable. gigsky.com.
Chamberplan.ca, of course, Canada's number one plan for employee benefits. And I know, people, as we said with the Sherpa, a lot of people don't want to talk about insurance or figure things out, but this is simple. It couldn't be easier. It's basically in a big company insurance for small companies. Simple, stable, smart, enjoyed by 30,000 Canadian businesses, just like yours, like ours. We have 5 or 6 employees, all the way up to 100 employees. This insurance plan is great because it pools everybody. Your rates are stable, and it couldn't be easier to get started. A lot, as some of our listeners have, for goodness sake, why not give them a shout? Figure something out for you at chamberplan.ca. Chamberplan.ca. Isn't that lovely?
Figure it out.
This is Humble and Fred.
Welcome back. I'm Philip Hong on the best of Humble and Fred, and this segment is devoted to the various chats we've had through the Humble and Fred archive. And in this segment, you're going to hear more about working in trenches and how Humble and Fred are definitely not fit for war.
This is, I don't think people realize, and I just want to take a second off the top to thank the people that support this show. There's a lot more responsibility to it than I think people, people give us credit for. It's a big responsibility. Not everyone can do it. We do it every day.
No, you're right. It's a massive weight upon our shoulders.
Well, thank you.
But we endure.
And the thing is, Fred and I don't like to talk about it much. It's like one of those things where, kind of like, men and women in the war, in a war zone. We just do it. It's our duty.
We need a service medal.
Well, okay. Maybe down the road. But right now, we're in the trenches together.
You're making me uncomfortable now. Like, we're heroic, and we do a lot of wonderful things, but to compare us with service, the service, you know, the people that actually put their lives on the line, I'm not sure I want to go there. As much as we are great citizens of the country, and what we've contributed over the past 30 years is totally invaluable.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But a soldier, Howie.
Well, I'm going to go.
We would run so quick if we were.
No, I'm going to. Well, listen, what we're doing here, maybe it would frighten service people. Being.
Would it?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it would.
You don't. Listen, you can be self-conscious. I'm just stating a fact.
All right.
This is Canada's national morning show, and only two people have been chosen by God, by Jesus and God. Oh, and the Holy Ghost. All three of them had a vote. Mm-hmm. It was 2-1 because Jesus wanted Phil to be the host. But
excellent.
Anyway,
the Holy Ghost of the programming department.
Of course, that's you can't compare. Nothing compares to people that serve.
Nothing. Oh, no.
No.
They're a special breed.
Exactly.
They put their lives on the line for us. We have put our lives on the line for no one.
Oh, yeah. For ourselves. Mm. I mean, there are service people that aren't really putting their life on the line. I think we're as good as somebody working in the office in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Like, we're not. I don't think we're as good as the service people in, say, Afghanistan. But somebody in, like, Trenton, we're as good as they are. We sacrifice.
Yeah, maybe.
What's their big sacrifice? They live in Trenton?
And do those ones get early retirement and pension and everything?
Paid accommodation, meals.
You know who's going to hate this conversation? Well, I mean, lots of people.
But the service people.
My buddy Dave White. Dave White is going to want to come through the podcast stereo or whatever he listens to. He's got one of those fancy new cars where you just press buttons and our face appears and the podcast just plays through the...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. No, it's really good.
Yeah, it's like built-in, like Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can turn your phone into a hotspot, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the way his whatever system works, you just do this and there it goes.
So you've kung fu.
Okay,
finger.
So we're not. Listen, obviously, I'm joking. We're Canada's national morning show. It's a burden, but it's not like serving in Afghanistan. It's every bit as good, though, as if you're the commissary, you know, supply person at Base Borden. At least as good as that.
All right. I'll meet you there.
Thank you.
But you started by saying trenches.
I was trying to do a bit. Okay?
I know.
You know, God damn.
And I'm with you. Michelle, you compare us with people that are in trenches. Yes. We would never get in a trench. What?
Of course not.
They'd say, okay, Fred, the bomb. When the bombs start, you go and get in that trench.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to.
I don't want to go. I wouldn't forget that. I'd be like, they say, okay, listen, we're going to go to this forward area, and some people are going to, like, there could be shooting in the trees and stuff. And I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
No, that will not be happening.
You know, in war pictures, you often see the guy. They always seem to highlight a guy who freaks out a bit and, like, lays in the trench and turns his back and just starts to, like, quiver.
Yes.
That would have been me.
Well, you know where I'd be? Underneath you.
Yeah.
you'd be curled up in a ball on the ground, and I would be like, all you'd see is my arms. Here's the thing. The ones that really freak me out are the ones when you go, it'll be like a Vietnam era or maybe a modern era, but they're fighting in a jungle, and it's always night, and it's always raining.
Yes.
And wet. Mm-hmm. And they've got those... tarps or something, ponchos, and they're on patrol. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and a firefight starts, right? That's what we call it in the jungle. And I always think to myself, I would just run. First, I'd lay down for a long time and myself, and then I'd get up and run the opposite way.
Yeah, I'd be in the trench. Just like cowering, thinking, how do I get out of this without looking like a coward? What can I do here now? I want out of this situation, but I don't want to look like a coward. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do?
Oh, you wouldn't even care. The last thing you care about is looking like a coward. I can imagine you and I. Okay, Glassman, Patterson, we're going on patrol. And then you and I would lay down and play dead at the base. Hey, you guys, what are you doing? We're playing dead.
Food poisoning.
We want the enemy to think, yeah, but we haven't even gone on patrol yet. Yes, but I want you to take a picture of us and send it to the enemy.
That's what they teach people to do in Central America and Mexico, where the drug cartels are huge.
Mm-hmm.
So if they run through a town, start shooting up a town because they're mad at somebody or something, they tell citizens to just immediately lay on the ground and pretend you're dead. Don't even move. Don't, because they'll just wipe out villages, right? So if they come through, it's just lay on the ground, pretend you're dead, and hope they don't shoot the dead body. What they think is the dead body.
Right.
How terrifying is that?
Oh, my God. It's got to be awful. It's got to be awful. Especially if you were hoping to kill everyone in the village, and then you found out later there was somebody playing dead. You didn't get a chance to kill them.
It's not 100% complete.
See, what I was doing is I was saying it was awful from the cartel's point of view,
yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
I said I turned it around.
You're a cartel sympathizer.
That's right. The cartel guys go home and go, hey, did you hear that one Glassman was playing dead?
What? I thought we got everybody in the village. Oh, this is... Now I gotta go back. So I don't want to go back. I hate going back. I have to kill somebody.
We'll just call it even.
Can you imagine that? The cart, you see, or you know, in the distance, you see like the dirt being churned up by the coming cartel jeeps. Mm-hmm. Is there always in jeeps?
Mm-hmm. Or old Toyota mm-hmm. trucks.
And you and I are like trying to see who can look deader.
Yeah.
You know?
You're a positive.
Then what you have to do, you'd have to practice your dead look.
Yes.
Do I look dead enough? In case the cartel ever comes in, do I look dead enough?
You and I, what are Howard and Fred doing all day? They're practicing looking dead.
Tongue out or
here's
tongue
what
in.
I would do, though. I would have a hospital bed hooked up with some IVs and some stuff. And as soon as I saw the cartel jeeps in the distance, I would jump into the bed. And I'd have a sign, dead person. Died of some horrible cancer.
Oh.
Speaking of violence... What?
Sorry. I love the segue.
This guy, you know the three guys, the story last week, the three guys coming down the steps at Square One Subway or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the bus station.
And they start beating on the
autistic kid.
The autistic kid. You saw the video.
Yeah,
just
horrible.
Well, they've arrested two of them. And the first one that they arrested, Parmveer Singh Chalhil. Anyway... They get him and they arrest him. Yesterday, he makes his first court appearance, and he was beat.
Really?
It was jailhouse justice. And it was funny the way it was presented. I heard it on a couple of news sources, and nobody seemed upset. You know, because the thing would be, it's like, well, you can't do that. But anyway, apparently, they threw him in the clink, and people quickly, the other inmates, quickly realized who it was, and they laid a beating on him.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes you feel pretty good, doesn't it?
Makes me feel good.
They said he walked in and his eyes were puffy and he had scrapes and yeah, he literally had feet out of him in jail.
Oh, dear.
Well, that's how we deliver justice on the inside.
But I'm thinking, that's pretty cool. You know, you see the video and they were heartless and it was unprovoked and so mercilessly they beat on the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets it.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sure they were going, how do you like it? So how do you like it, Pomver? How do you like it? Anyway, so the other guy they've arrested now,
How do you like it?
How do you like it now, Pomver?
You did it to the poor guy.
Now you get it.
Yeah, huh?
So they've arrested the second guy now, and apparently he's in a holding cell, and if he doesn't get bail or whatever, they're going to throw him into the general population.
Uh-oh.
Gen pop is what we call it. Yeah. Gen pop on the inside.
Yeah, Gen pop.
Well, that's what we do. Listen, mm-hmm. you and I, when you and I were serving our dime upstate,
yeah,
we...
there's another place we would have no chance. Like, none. You and I... when we were doing our dime upstate...
Is that 10 years?
That's 10.
All right.
When we were doing our dime... Well, we got off like 7 years for good behavior. It was a series of armed robberies. There was some violence. But, you know, we had that happen a couple times. You know, people come into the Gen Pop and we deliver our own justice, you mm-hmm. and I. Sure we did. That's why we're Canada's national morning show.
Yeah. Yeah, people were afraid of us when we were doing our dime. I really thought that lawyer was going to get me a nickel.
A nickel.
Or a quarter.
Mm-hmm. And you were like, how come
I wouldn't want a quarter.
Oh, no, you'd want a quarter.
You were just lucky my lawyer didn't turn a dime into 25 cents or whatever your bid is.
Throw it to the loony. Throw it to a loony.
I should have got you to represent me. You would have turned a dime into a penny. I'd have been out in a year.
Oh, that's right.
It's so worth it.
What is going on? What is going on today? Aren't we just on a flight of fancy?
This is Humble and Fred.
We've got more from the week, highlights from the week, coming up on The Best of Humble and Fred. I'm Philip Hong. This is The Best of Humble and Fred on air and online.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything.
Now, back to the second hour of The Best of Humble and Fred, powered by The Chambers Plan, FYI Music News, Gig Sky, The Retirement Sherpa, HomegrownKits.ca, Spearhead Brewing Company, Cannabis Career Network, and Strain Print.
Also, in the news yesterday, you may have seen it. I'm not sure how affected you were by the death of comic book genius Stan Lee. You know him from maybe you've seen him in all those movies. He pops up in all the Marvel movies. He always has that Stan Lee cameo. But he was a big part of our childhood. You know, he was the... Phil, correct me. Was he the creator of Spider-Man?
Yes, well, they say co-creator, right?
Oh, absolutely. He's played a major part in Marvel Comics, and that's...
Dog.
Stan, come on.
I'm doing a big professional radio show.
I think it's cataract.
That's where my pop culture sort of falls.
Yeah, me too, a little bit.
Falls apart, because I love Spider-Man and I love the Iron Man movies, but I've never... Like, often you'll talk about a movie and talk about the director or whatever. I never, ever drilled down that far. On a movie, I'd like a movie, and I never really think about the director or the producer or whatever. You know what I mean? And honestly, when Stan Lee died yesterday and somebody had walked up to me and said, Stan Lee's dead, I would have been like, who's that again? Honestly, I'm just being honest. And then once you get an explanation, you really appreciate who he is and what he has done.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I mean, when I was a kid, those Spider-Man cartoons on a Saturday morning, that was my life. But I never made the Stan Lee connection.
And I was never a comic book nerd. What were you going to say?
Totally am a comic book nerd. So this was like a big deal to me, my generation, because he changed the way superheroes were created and the whole stories. Just being a character that didn't want to be a superhero like Spider-Man, Peter Parker, that was a whole new element that got boys involved that didn't necessarily want to be heroes, but now I can watch this hero that doesn't want to be one just like me, and it was a new kind of hero.
A lot of the stuff that we grew up watching, again, the Incredible Hulk, Fantastic Four, Captain America, the Avengers, Iron Man,
X-Men.
I mean, that's all Stan Lee stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting when you look at what a cool guy he... You know, here he is in his sort of late 40s, early 50s, you know, cool guy. And then, you know, people age. He was 95. Look at him now. 95 years old.
Yeah. World War II vet.
Yeah. I mean, now, did he profit from...
Yeah, so he was the creator. He had a
piece of all those movies.
Yeah, if you look at, he was making a good chunk of money.
Really,
his net worth.
Let's check that out. But it was a big deal for a lot of people. You could see that.
Without a doubt,
it was huge yesterday. No, and again, I'm like you.
It's like when Stan Mikita died. I was heartsick, and there's a lot of people that would laugh at that.
Which comics did he do? Stan Mikita.
He had some donut shop.
I thought he had a power tool.
Stan Lee, net worth. How much money? Let's go and see.
But yeah, he had a cameo in every movie. So that's what's going to be missed now is he would randomly show up in every movie.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's going to be instead at the beginning or the end, it'll say in loving memory of Stan Lee. And it's purely he was the face of Marvel. And now there's... It's just the company now.
Well, in this article, in money sense, not in Celebrity Net Worth, it's interesting because I remember this, that He basically helped create Marvel, but he didn't own the company. Disney bought Marvel, according to this, for $4 billion in 2009, acquiring its catalog and characters. And he didn't participate in that because he didn't own any part of the company.
So I heard something like 90 to 100 million. I don't know where the source is I heard.
Well,
but
because
I know
he'd get a piece of all those characters. Yeah.
So what does Celebrity Net Worth say?
Well, I'm just trying to see here. The final figure is around 100 million. 130.
Yeah.
Between 100 and 130 million. So pretty good money.
Well, the thing is, when you have that much money, whether if you got 100 million, you could have a billion. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Everything you want, you have. So
well, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. If you have 100 million, I mean, that's helicopter money.
Yeah.
You know, you just helicopter around this. You know, hey, I'm going to go out and see Freddy. Get my helicopter.
Yeah, and maybe, hopefully, one that can actually fly in the rain, too. You know?
Yeah. Helicopter in the
whole
rain.
50 miles.
if you have 100 million, you have helicopter money. If you have a billion, all your friends have helicopters. It's like, you get a helicopter.
Your spaceship.
Spaceship. That's right. I got a spaceship just because I have so much money. I don't use it.
I'm going to buy Elon Musk.
Just buy him.
Anyway, I just wanted to recognize that that guy's dead, and that's a thing in the popular population of the populists.
No, as I say, I this time yesterday, if you said his name, I've heard of that guy, but I wouldn't know who. But upon further investigation or seeing the way it played out, you fully appreciate what he was all about. And had somewhat of an impact in my life, too. But again, I never go that far on productions.
Into
even the way you do, you know?
Yeah, I'm not them. I mean, listen,
yeah, but you like you'll go see a movie because it's Tarantino, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Or you'll go see a movie because it's the brothers or something.
You would know that it was Tarantino.
Yeah.
The guy that did Pulp Fiction, etc.
Who are the brothers, too, that have all the neat movies? So. Coen Brothers.
Well, the Coen,
whatever they are.
Coen Brothers. There's also the Kowalski Brothers, remember? Who are those guys?
Spielberg.
No, Spielberg Brothers.
Don't bother me.
How dare you, Phil. No, who are the guys that did The Matrix?
You're not talking about the Weinsteins, are they?
Because, no.
Matrix.
I made a bunch of friends with some Koreans yesterday.
Did you?
Yes, I did. I went golfing yesterday.
All right.
It was beautiful, actually.
Oh, no, it was a beautiful day. It was a lovely day.
Wachowski Brothers. Yeah. They did The Matrix?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spent some time outside yesterday.
It was beautiful.
It was.
The 12th of November. Mm-hmm. It was about 8, 9 degrees, light winds, so perfect for fall golf. So I go to this course, all the major courses around the city have shut down, so I went to a country course, just, you know, went over there as a single, and I see three guys on the tee, and I'm like, you know, I've been golfing long enough. I can kind of see by how what their equipment was. I could kind of get a vibe for that. I figured they could play a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful day. I didn't really care myself. I'm just going to go out and walk around. So I walk up to these three guys. I said, hey, guys, and they're all around our age, like mid-50s. Would you guys mind if I joined you? And I make some joke about, well, I promise you, I don't talk much, and I'm not good, but I play quickly. And they're like, first thing they say to me is, well, the louder the better. They're just these characters.
Right,
like,
right.
All buddies and joking around. So I said, great, let me just go in and check in. I'll come right back. So I go in and check in, and when I come back, there's another guy. So there's three Koreans, and there's this grumpy old white guy who just drove up in a cart. It's like, oh, it's my tea time. And they're sort of looking at me. I go, oh, I said, what happened? I thought we were playing. And they were like, well, we didn't know. And I said to the guy, are you all by yourself? And he goes, yeah. I go, well, he goes, you want to play with me? I said, no, I'm going to play with these guys. Anyway, he goes off in a bit of a huff, kind of a grumpy dude. And he joins up with the people ahead of us. And I say to them, I go, what the hell just happened? And they're like, I could tell they're jokesters. I go, what just happened? I go, did you think that was me? Because we all look alike.
Right, yeah. Oh, did they?
They were besties. We were instant besties. Oh, yeah. And I said, oh, I get it. You just thought, oh, some other white guy drove up in a car. They couldn't have been. It turned out they were just the nicest guys. One guy from all three Korean, but one guy from Vancouver. All good friends, just great guys. And it was a fun afternoon, and they could all play a little bit. And it was funny. The one guy.
What did they say when they saw you launch it?
Yeah, Yeah, they were fine. They liked it. They liked it. I shot 71 yesterday, actually.
Did you really? How many tips did you have to give yesterday?
Not very many. They were one guy. They were all very good. Like, they were all between 6 and 10 handicaps. And so very good players. But the one guy that was sort of the better of the three of them, I sort of walked him through a couple things and got him hitting it better. But I got to tell you, the kid from Vancouver, first of all, the other thing they said to me was, because they're all in great shape. One guy had just done an Ironman a couple years ago. Yeah. And they were trying to figure out how old I was, because they're all like 54, 55. They thought, I mean, I had a hat on. You couldn't see all my gray hair.
Sure.
They thought I was in my 40s.
No way.
I know. I said, well, you know, us white guys, we're very well preserved.
We don't age.
We don't. Yeah. You know, I was, well, that one guy from Vancouver bought his house in Vancouver. He bought it about 15 years ago. And I mean, it's just worth multiples of millions. And I said, that's great. The only thing is, what do you do? You can't live there. If you sell your place, it's the place you buy is going to be more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he said his plan was to, when they eventually retire, is to just rent it. Because you can get huge money to rent it and then just go live someplace smaller.
Yeah, that's what my second uncle does, because he has this mansion in West Vancouver. He thought he was going to have kids, but, have kids. And so when he retired, he just said, oh, I'll just rent this place out. And then it's in West Vancouver, and now he lives in an apartment in Surrey. And so he's taking all the money that's been collected in rent to pay for that mortgage. Mm-hmm.
You know our buddy Phil Evans, who we used to work with at The Edge, Captain Phil. I remember when he went out to Vancouver, that's got to be, what, 15, pushing 20 years ago. And I remember at the time he bought a house in Horseshoe Bay, and I think he paid, excuse me for throwing these numbers out, and they may be, I think they're close. It was somewhere around 400 grand. I remember him telling us, I'm thinking, what? 400 grand? You know what 400 grand would have bought you in Toronto like 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, and I can only imagine now. I think it's because whenever I see Phil on Facebook now, he's always got a big smile on his face.
No, he does. He's a happy, happy
he's
guy.
He's just rolling.
This is Humble and Fred.
There's more to the Best of Humble and Fred this week. I'm Philip Hong on the Best of Humble and Fred, on air and online. First, a couple of very, very important announcements.
let's make sure everyone knows this program is brought to you by FYI Music News. Lots of interesting Canadian music information each and every day. Our highest recommendation, of course.
You
know,
yes.
They've been a... You know, you talk about somebody helping us out. FYI Music News has been on board for quite some time.
Look at this. A Day with Alan Cross is a feature at FYIMusicNews.ca. Spend a day with Alan Cross.
How so?
Who? I guess you just follow him around.
You just like wake up
and watch him ingest music.
Wake up with him and Mary Ellen.
Yeah, that's right. One of the many features this week, a Mexican car crash kills Canadian broadcasting couple. We talked about that last week. There's a deal. Leslie Soule and his wife die tragically. Retire in Mexico and die in a car accident. So the details are there. And don't forget, there's a career section if you want to work in the music industry, around the music industry. There's actually a career section at fymusicnews.ca. And today's new track, The Seasons... Junk. The band The Seasons, the song Junk. FYIMusicNews.ca.
I was just looking at some of the literature that we've been giving. When considering your costs and time and money raising your own marijuana at home, what they've found that buying the highest price kit, which isn't very much, it's a few hundred bucks, and adding other possible costs over the growing cycle, you could actually save yourself between $1,900 and like $4,000. And that's the dope about being a non-dope when building your stash of dope, according to this. Homegrownkits.ca has a wide range of gift certificates available. Give the gift of cannabis this Christmas. A range of denominations in our Homegrown Kits website. Check it out. Redeemable for any of the kits, including the new Criterion kit with lighting or other online products like the Grow Space Cleaning Kit or the very important bong cleaning kit. I hope I get that as a stocking stuffer. Can you help me clean my bong?
Yeah.
Homegrownkits.ca. Homegrownkits.ca.
This is Humble and Fred.
Here's seven ways to make to start making kindness. I'll just give you a couple.
Okay.
For instance, send an uplifting text to a friend or family member. Let that guy merge into traffic with a wave and a smile. I'm starting to do that more and more. I'm starting to be the guy now. You just go ahead, I say. Just go.
Well,
I like a wave. I like acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. But I'm letting people go in now.
Well,
I'm less than a
my traffic issue this morning going southbound on the 410, there's two lanes to go off onto the eastbound 401.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it backs up because of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can see for some time that there are problems. But there are those guys. So those two lanes, so then the two left lanes are sort of clear. So these guys, you know the guy's thinking, I'm just going to stay in the clear lane, and then right before the ramp, I'm
That's
just
right.
going to nose in.
Got to let me in.
And not 100% of the time they're let in, right?
Yeah, of course.
And that used to aggravate me a lot, and I now when it happens, it's like, you know what I mean? That guy just, it's all, again, it's just all about him and what he wants, and... Again, you started thinking, maybe is he late for work? If he's late one more time, he's going to get all that stuff. And it's like, oh, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't do it.
No, I know.
But it's a lot of people do it.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only laughing because whenever I see stuff like that now, I just go, what are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
And, yeah. And the problem is that sort of adds to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the people lined up properly have to wait and pause to
we
let
waited.
Him in.
We waited.
Yeah. I know. And a couple of times I've accidentally done that, and I've sort of lost track of the lane, and I just feel bad. You know, you lose track of the line, and it's like, oh, I got to get over there.
That's
and
right.
Now there's a lineup, and you nose in, and I'm like feeling bad, thinking, oh, what do these people think of me? Not that I care, because there's going to be no fallout to that, but...
Well, and if somebody recognizes you, then they get They recognize, oh, the great Fred Patterson. Brampton's unofficial
But these guys, most of them, you can just see, because they're just peeling by you.
Yeah.
They have no intention of getting in line.
They're intentionally doing
They're
that.
Getting right to the foot of the ramp and nosing in whether you like it or not.
Phil, another way to make kindness part of your normal routine, include intentional moments of kindness, laughter, and delight in your daily routine. Reach out to a family member you haven't spoken to in a while.
Make them a pot of tea in your new teapot.
Yes, yes, uh-huh. Yes.
Share a compliment with a coworker or friend.
You're nice, Sean.
You're nice too, man.
World Kindness Day. All right, well, we'll get to Sean's highlight in the news. I just wonder if marijuana will ever have the casual acceptance that we experience with alcohol. You know, like last night, you know, Spencer doesn't drink, I don't drink, Charlie hasn't had a drink since the summer. Not that she's against alcohol, she's just been trying to get in shape again. She's lost a bunch of weight, and when we came back from Europe in July, she was like, I'm just gonna, she didn't drink that much. So only two people drank last night. We're having my mother-in-law, ex-mother-in-law, and ex-wife having a glass of wine. But I wonder if we'll ever get to a point where casually someone will just take out their vape pen, or like I did in the kitchen when no one was watching. But you know what I mean? Like, it's still got a little bit of weird sort of stink on it. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't come to your place. You're sitting around having a beer and a glass of wine. I don't know that I...
Well, at my place you would.
Yeah, you may.
Yeah.
But not for...
But I know what you're getting at.
But not for an occasion. If it was like Christmas dinner with your family, I wouldn't be like, hey, anyone want to hit off this?
No, I'm the same way. When my in-laws come over, and they know we use it, or I've used it medically and otherwise.
Recreationally.
But, you know, when they're there for Christmas, I would go downstairs, grab a beer, crack the beer, and sit there and drink it. Well, I was talking to them. I wouldn't...
Right.
I wouldn't go get that thing yet, the pen that I have.
I want to say, like, if you go to a bar or something nowadays, all the smokers that used to be out there, and if you were a big weed smoker before, now you're seeing those guys are not afraid to be token outside the bar anymore with all the smokers. So it's kind of...
Yeah, I can see that.
It's changed in that regard, which is interesting.
But that situation, like, I in my lifetime have been at a bar and gone out to get, you know, to haul a couple of toky tokes. But no, I'm just talking about kind of a casual family experience where no one would think twice about opening a beer, pouring a glass of wine.
Yeah, it's just got to work its way through the system like anything else. It's like I was talking about yesterday about the white establishment here in Canada and the United States. You know, give it time and it'll work through the system.
Well, it took me a long time to explain to my parents the difference in smoking pot and, like, I'm just going out to have a quick toke after a good meal you made, Mom. Like, just going to go relax after this, you know?
Yeah, it's just the same. Listen,
well, a little before, a little after.
I'm at Costco in Brampton yesterday. I get out of my car and I walk by this car. The guy rolls down the window and this waft of marijuana, smoke, smell, whatever. And I was a bit taken aback. And I had the same thought. I thought, well, it's legal. You know, it's no different than... Well, I guess, I don't know, is it any different? I'm not supposed to sit in my car and have a beer, even one, if I'm not impaired.
Right.
It's against the law. Apparently, that's against the law, what he's doing.
Mm-hmm, hotboxing.
Yeah, but he's...
whatever that is.
Well, whatever it is. Hold on a second. Did Phil just say hotboxing?
I think I heard that term on Netflix the other day.
But, oh, man.
Yes.
That's the best.
But really, all that stuff aside, it was because that smell, it's legal now.
Yeah.
But I guess if I walked by and I saw a guy sitting in his car having a tall boy, I'd think, well, you shouldn't be doing that either.
Look at every baseball diamond. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. You see the guys drinking out of the trunk of their car every time. Mm-hmm. Every game. Every hockey game.
No, I know. I was once arrested for it.
You were done? What?
Ooh.
No, not arrested, but we were at a Brampton Excelsior's lacrosse game several years ago. Peter Robertson got me out of this.
Oh, no.
I can tell
former mayor of Brampton.
Right. Yeah.
Look at you.
So we're at Brampton Excelsior's game, and in between periods, they didn't serve beer in the rink back then. Everybody would whip out to the parking lot and have a couple of beers out of the back of the... So because rather than let it go, because no one was being harmed, the cops converge on us one night. And I'm just standing there. I thought it was funny. And they just told everybody not to move, and they went around and wrote us tickets for drinking in public. Which it was like $50 or something. So the next day, I phoned Peter Robertson. I said, Pete, here's what happened last night. I said, we're at the game. I'm supporting the team. We're having a couple of beers. And, you know, I get this ticket for $50. You know what he said to me? Do you have a mailbox? Yeah. Put the ticket in the mailbox. I said, why? Just put the ticket in the mailbox. It was gone. He just had somebody come grab the ticket and... I never heard about it again. Wow. So that's what happens when you're Brampton elite.
Oh, I was going to say, look at you. You're like the Sopranos of Brampton.
Oh, yeah.
He's like the mayor takes care of my parking tickets or my beer fines.
Oh, mail disposal.
Tickets, yeah.
Anyway, back to you, Sean.
There was a study done by tourism annal in the States that...
Tourism what?
Annal. A-N-N-A-L. Tell
annual?
Me here. No, it's annal.
Why is that...
Annals.
Like a government record, almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say.
The annals of time.
Where is this? Where is this?
This is...
Which one is it?
It's right down there.
Well, it's not...
The third one down. But anyway, yeah, driverless cars. There was a study done by tourism in the States that's saying this rise of cars is going to diminish the amount of taxis that are out there, but also give rise to something else, a little more fun that could go on in driverless cars without chaperones being around.
Yeah, I saw this story. It's National Post there. People are going to sell sex in driverless cars, researchers say.
So what happens? A hooker will get in the car and then it'll pull up and you get in and...
Well, or he or she will own it.
Okay. What they're saying is this may start in the desert. In Nevada is the only place where prostitution, small communities where prostitution is legal. So
what's wrong with that?
Silicon Valley, that is...
Not that silicone.
Silicone.
Silicone Valley. Get it?
You like that? You like that?
Yeah. Did you do that on purpose?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I hope so.
Come on. Now I'm just expected to fail. This is good.
No. Not at all. And, but what he was trying to tell us is that according to a new study from the Annals of Tourism Research...
So if
not the anals,
no, just trying to not get
for that you need a driverless minivan. Hey,
Las Vegas.
I've never really understood the prostitution thing. If she's offering and he's willing to purchase, like why? What's the? I don't get it.
No, I know.
Like of all the things that go on, if a woman willing to sell her body gets
in
a car
or a man,
and this is
and the car pulls up and somebody has money and it's a commerce thing and they're both consulting.
I go in the car.
Well, I had this discussion with Buddy Dave the other day. We're talking about driverless cars, pilotless airplanes. Mm. And we had a bit of a discussion. I said, I'm not really that concerned about the rise of the driverless cars. I don't think that's going to be a thing anytime soon.
Neither
he disagreed.
No.
And we were talking about planes flying without pilots in them, probably more likely than you'd like to believe. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't know much about anything. I just know when it comes to this technology, I just know that hopefully before I die, I get to have sex with a robot. You know, just some robot that comes up in a driverless car.
Can you imagine the insurance headaches driverless cars would create?
Yeah.
Oh, like, where do you begin with that?
This is Humble and Fred.
This edition of the Best of Humble and Fred is powered by FYI Music News, the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Gig Sky, Spearhead Brewing Company, Strain Print, HomegrownKits.ca, and Cannabis Career Network.